Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I am a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I'm excited to have Poppy Peach Nichols as my guest today. Join us for a conversation about how she is living her music with her work in musical theater and as the managing director for West Coast Songwriters. Welcome, Poppy.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy and excited to have you on the show today. I am just so excited to have you as the new managing director for West Coast Songwriters, and you are loving, you're kind, you're creative, you love to collaborate. I mean, it's like the perfect kind of person to have as the managing director for West Coast Songwriters. Yay!
Well, I really appreciate that. Yeah, it's been quite a journey this last year, so I appreciate that feedback.
Yeah, especially, I mean, of all times, you started it just before the whole pandemic hit, so, you know, that's really been an amazing challenge, too. But we'll get more into that later. I'd like to start out with you telling us a little bit about your childhood and growing up in Boulder Creek and how that helped form you. So we can know a little bit about you first.
For sure. I had a very interesting childhood growing up in downtown Boulder Creek. My parents started a restaurant called the Peach Cottage, and we actually lived in the restaurant. So it was a creative, collaborative, colorful environment, shall we say. We used to have some pretty interesting people stop by. You had Bo Diddley and the Hells Angels and, Timothy O'Leary and G. Gordon Liddy. I mean, it was a little hippie spot in the mountains. I don't think I saw a police officer until I was like 13. It was way back there by Big Basin, which had that tragic fire. So, my dad was in a band and, being in the kitchen helping cook and, you were just surrounded by so many different types of people and energy. And, you know, it was a crazy childhood for sure, but I wouldn't be the person I am today without having had that experience. Most people are surprised when they see me. They're like, you grew up in the restaurant at the Peach Cottage. How are you doing? I'm fine. So
Peach must have been their last name, right? And that's why you're Poppy Peach Nichols, right?
Indeed, yeah. Peach is my last name. Poppy is actually my name. My full name is Laura Poppy Peach, but no one ever called me Laura. So Poppy Peach certainly fits for my career now. Of course, growing up, it was a little torturous, first day of school, having to raise your hand when your name's called. But I'm over that now.
having Poppy for a name is so unique, and having a unique name definitely helps when you're in a creative field. It helps you stand out. Actually, anywhere helps you stand out. But, and I don't know, with your coloring, it seems like Poppy's the perfect name for you. So I think they did a good job naming you.
Orange is the color of truth, I'm told. Monks wear orange, and my whole name is nothing but an orange color. So some people can handle that. Some people can't. I'm challenging to be around for some people because, it's written on my face if I'm not saying it out loud. So, it makes for some roller coaster rides.
You know what you said about it being written on your face, though, is so true. I mean, we've been watching some TV series online that have characters who you notice that it's their facial expressions and the body language more so than it is what they're saying. So when you say what people are saying and how they're saying it, it's not just the words, it's not just the tone of voice, it's definitely all of it. It's the facial expressions especially.
People can be saying one thing, but you can read their body language and know whether or not they're being sincere. At least I mean, I'm pretty intuitive with people, and I can cut through it pretty easily. And I think that also comes from my childhood, and being able to, read people was important when I was growing up. And so therefore, kind of translates into your adulthood.
Yeah, very true. So, creative expression while raising your children. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I was a flight attendant when I first got pregnant with my son, and 9/11 happened, and I did not want to be commuting and leaving my child behind. We were living in Eastern Washington. My husband was a news anchor, so I was going to have to commute back to Houston, and I didn't want to do that. So being, you know, what I felt, literally grounded, because when you're a flight attendant and something happens to you, you get grounded, you can't fly.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so I literally was just, I just felt completely grounded. I had all this freedom. I'm not the most patient person in the world, so being home all day long with children was just like, I never thought that was going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
But then life shows you what your path is. And I remember saying, you know, I always envisioned taking my son in and checking him in like a coat and going off and doing my life. And it didn't happen that way. He needed to be homeschooled, and I had my daughter, and I just decided to channel my energy into homeschooling. And they had been in Waldorf schools, and, you know, I took them out periodically for financial reasons. And so with,
mm-hmm.
you know, do a lot of creativity through Waldorf. Anyone knows Waldorf education is very, very art intensive and creative. And it was all stuff I never had as a child. So I kind of got to relive and educate myself in that way. And, you know, started a blog, did a bunch of stuff, which ended up leading to other creative experiences to where I am now, just by putting myself out there in an authentic way for my family, putting them
mm-hmm.
first, and then my path slowly revealed itself, you know.
Yeah, wow, what a change. So flight attendant and around 2011, wait, when did was that, 2000, what
it
year
was
that?
It was 9/11. So
that's
that
what I thought
was,
you said. It was too hard to believe
yeah.
that was like when you would be flying. I was going, oh my gosh.
Yeah, well, yeah, I still had my uniform, my cockpit key, my ID. Most of the flight attendants, you know, they would know all the codes for all the doors in any airport. They would just write them on the bottom of their shoes. You know, I mean, it was a totally different environment. So
uh-huh.
After that happened and I knew people that were still flying, they said it was really, really different. And aside from that, I didn't want to lose my family. So,
well, you know,
yeah.
Everybody has to have their priorities straight, and I think that, you know, you're right. I mean, some people, for them, it's more like leave the kids to do whatever they're going to do and somebody else help take care of them, and some people need to be really involved, and we were the same way. We wanted to be really involved with Sanders growing up. We didn't homeschool him, but he led a very creative life growing up, also having us as parents.
Right.
You know, with the design and photography business and music and all of the rest of it. So, yeah,
I feel like I just always trust my intuition in that way. And it was very
mm-hmm.
hard because it wasn't very supported. You know, we struggled a lot financially. It was that I needed to go get a job, but that would mean I was paying for daycare, which didn't make any sense to me at all. And I knew it wasn't forever. And I remember telling some friends I decided to homeschool, and they just kind of laughed, like, you're not going to homeschool. How can you homeschool? I'm like, I graduated from kindergarten. I can handle this. He was 5, you know. and I'm kind of one of those people. It's like, you know, underestimate me. This will be fun. So I did it anyway. But then through that, like through raising my children and having them in Waldorf, that's where I met Vitrina King. And that's where I got started on the musicals.
What was how you got started in musicals?
So Vitrina King is a mommy friend through Waldorf, and we raised our
uh-huh.
children together. And I just always kept saying to her, we should do something. I didn't know what that meant because here I was a stay-at-home mom, and I was a flight attendant, and I'm not a musician. So
right.
it was like, what am I going to do to work with her? You know, she was, you know, on the show Ally McBeal as one of the ICAs. And then she worked for like 17 years as a first session singer in LA. And I just, you know, I didn't know everything she had done until I heard her on an NPR interview, and they were going down all the list of people she worked with. And I'm like, Vitrina, you never told me any of this. So we're doing a Christmas album together. I'm just using my bedroom as a recording studio. I threw my bed out. because I'm so frustrated creatively, right? Stuck at home. I'm like, I'm going to make this happen no matter what. And I didn't even know what this was. I just knew we needed movement. And so we got a futon so we could fold it up, use it as a recording studio. My husband was, you know, in broadcasting so he could do the GarageBand recording. And we started recording a Christmas album. And then the woman who wrote Zuccotti Park heard her sing and hit us up for Vitrina to compose the music for it. And they started working together, and it was, they needed me in it, and they brought me into it. And it was funny because I didn't know why. I was like, what am I going to do? And I went with my little notebook. I'm terrible at taking notes, so I just kind of pretend. But within 5 minutes, I knew why I was there, and it was to get them moving forward and keep everything organized. And I noticed a pattern for me that that's what I was good at. So we made, you know, a couple trips to New York and festivals and North Carolina. And then we had a second musical, Rumpelstiltskin, just was nominated for, I think, 11 awards here in the Sacramento Valley. So just one thing led to another like that through just our friendships, collaborating. And I usually jump in before I know what it is I'm doing or what my place in it is, but I feel an energy towards it. It's like, what is this? I don't know. Go for it. So.
I love that. I love that. Right from the start, when I first met you, when you took over as the managing director for West Coast Songwriters, which we're part of, so, you know, we know we met you through that originally, I could tell, though, that you have that kind of energy where you can keep things organized and yet you're creative. And that's a really great combination, because sometimes creative people tend to not be as organized and organized people not as creative. But you seem to be a really good combination of the two. So, yeah.
Well, I'm always juggling things in my mind, and I'm very lucky to have worked with Catherine Hurd. She's the one that wrote Zuccotti Park and Rumpelstiltskin and Vitrina. It's a learning experience working as three women for over 8 years together, you know, a lot of wine and cheese evenings over challenging conversations about communication or changes in script or composition or whatever, you know. And just me in the middle going, how can we make it all work? So, you know, it's been great. And what was interesting is that, you know, the music world is so small. And Vitrina ended up knowing some of the same people that Ian Crombie, who has run the West Coast Songwriters for 40 years and I grew up with, they knew some of the same people in L.A. And so our musical paths, that's how it segued into what happened with West Coast Songwriters, because I had grown up with Joni and Ian. Joni actually used to go to school with my dad. So I've known Ian since I was like five, because that's around the time that they got together. And so it was like a natural fit, because we kept showing up for music events and realizing, oh, Vitrina knew some of the same people. They were excited for me about the musicals. And then Ian asked me if I would be interested in this position that he needed to retire. And I, of course, sobbed, and I was completely humbled and blown away, because he's like another father figure to me. And this is 40 years of his blood, sweat, and tears, and Joni's. It was really overwhelming. Just for the meaning behind it all was very overwhelming for me.
Well, you know, it's really amazing to me. This is the 40th year for the conference, right, for West Coast Songwriters.
It is,
and
yeah.
It's also the 40th year for my husband starting his business, Donator Design and Photography. And then the woman I'm working on a project with right now, who's an architect, started her business in 1980. So,
oh, that's,
I mean,
so
it's
funny.
Like all of these 40-year celebrations this year, during this crazy year that we have of 2020 with the pandemic going on. It's just, but, you know, I think that one of the things that's really helped keep me happy and sane is the fact, though, that there are all these creative people that we're linked with, and thank God for Zoom.
I know. Well, I'm very grateful for the virtual world, and I said it in my message for the program for the conference, and I've said it many times, but when I first took over, I said, I really want to create more online events so people can log in from anywhere and we can, you know, get more membership in and, you know, create more energy. And then within a week of Ian officially handing stuff over to me, COVID hit. And I was like, well, I should have been more specific about how many things I wanted to do online. So
it is amazing how you say stuff and the universe only says yes, yes, we're going to do more online.
Yeah. We certainly are.
Yeah, I have never used Zoom until the pandemic came out, and then our Toastmasters Club had to go over to that, and so I started using it for that, and then we started using it for the West Coast Songwriters monthly songwriting songs in progress, which has been actually very great because we've been able to go to other locations, and other locations people have been able to come to ours, and the collaboration is wonderful. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I mean, we have to stay connected. It's not ideal, but the thing that I've always known about West Coast Songwriters, just working at the conferences in the kitchen, me and my family handing out food, was the sense of community that everybody enjoyed about the conference. So when that subject came up for this 40th annual conference to possibly not have it, I was like, I don't know that we should cancel. I mean, what if we can do it virtually? And, you know, it's going to be interesting. We have a tech person working on that for us. Everything's, you know, it seems like it's going to work really well. We've done some pre-recorded stuff. And then we also have Music City involved from San Francisco. And they're, we're doing their the kickoff on Friday night, the 11th. And we're taking over their lockdown sessions. So they're pre-recorded performances with live interviews. And then they're also doing that for our sunset concert so that there's a live element to it, but with smooth performances. So we're very grateful to have Music City involved. I mean, that would have been way too much for me to put together.
Oh, yeah, Rudy in Music City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's really cool. So now for the conference this year, it's going to be kickoffs on Friday the 11th. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
And then the conference is going to be just on Saturday this year. It's on the 12th. And
yeah,
I am so curious to see how this all happens, you know, because I've been to, I think, at least three of the real conferences where it's in person. And
Right. Those
were super interesting, and it was so interesting being able to meet all the different people that you can meet and go to the workshops and do those things. But it's going to also be interesting to see how it works out online as an online event, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, it's certainly more affordable this year for everyone. You don't have to pay for a hotel, parking, food. Also, the tickets are only $50. So very reasonable for people to come and join. You know, one-on-ones are an additional 30, performance reviews are an additional 40, but that's it. And you have all these workshops to choose from, workshops, panels, screenings, one-on-ones, performance reviews, and then plus being able to listen into the pre-recorded opening panel, creativity during this crisis, and how top professionals are dealing with that right now in the music industry. And then the concert should be wonderful too. So I think it's definitely going to be an exciting event. And of course, we hope it's in person next year.
Yeah, hopefully it will be. And by then it would be September of 2021. So maybe, I don't know.
We can cross our fingers and hope for 2021 to be the year we thought 2020 was going to be.
Nobody is ever going to forget 2020. That's no doubt about that. Well, tell us a little bit more about some of the people who are going to be at the conference for the one-on-ones and for the screenings and that sort of thing.
Yeah, sure. So we have producer Richard Harris. We have D-Mar, who used to be the drummer for Little Richard. An amazing, amazing individual. Really enjoy him. Jane Bach from Nashville. She's a very prolific songwriter in Nashville. It's funny, every time I talk to her, first of all, I just love talking to her, but her walls are just covered in records, and she's just such a fun, generous person. I'm really grateful that she's able to take time with us. Antoinette Olesen, who comes every year, she's so great, and grateful to her hard work with West Coast Songwriters, but she has put together and Nashville Now panel talks industry as it is in Nashville right now, and it should be amazing. She's got some really wonderful top working women in Nashville on that panel. Liz Rogers, Courtney Allen, Charisse Voltour will be with her on that. Let's see, as far as the one-on-ones go, also Larry Batiste, Wendy Hope, Marcus Brune, Andre Pessis. We have quite a few people who have helped out with that area. And we also have a youth program. So there's a couple, you know, for ages 15 to 22, looking at developing the next generation of songwriters. And we have kind of a peer-led experience for that. Anthony Aria, who was on The Voice, and Emma Gerson, and also Chloe Cullen, and Rachel Efron, who has designed our youth program, will be involved with both of those as well.
Now, that's totally new this year, right, the youth program? I don't remember hearing about that before.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, you know, Dudley and I have been co-managers of the San Rafael chapter, as you know, since 2016. Actually, we joined that one in 2014, and it's been just amazing. But that's one of the things Dudley has brought up a number of times, is that he thought it would be really great to get more young people involved in West Coast
Songwriters. Yeah, very important. So, very important. I mean, it's, you know, it's been around, the organization's been around for a long time, and we have some amazing, loyal members, and it's time to think about who are the next generation. And also at the conference, you know, bringing in some stuff that's very, very relevant right now. Pete Summer put together a panel for broadcasting and live stream beginnings with Megan Slinkard. And then Kenny Schick's doing Songwriter Land. A lot of this is going to be based around what can you do right now with the current situation you're in, you know, making the best of it.
That sounds like a wonderful idea, because that's so true. I mean, it's like we have to focus on what's right and what we can do right now instead of focusing on all the things that are, quote, wrong and all the things that we can't do.
All the things that aren't working. Yeah, for sure.
Get back to our circle of control, what we can actually do something about. I think it sounds like it's going to be amazing. So I'm like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. And people can find out more about that on the West Coast Songwriters website at www.westcoastsongwriters.org as well.
And yes.
Yeah. So how many, you can still have probably an unlimited number of people can still sign up, right, since it's virtual, right?
Yeah.
Or do you have a limit on it?
People are used to signing up at the last minute, which I need them to sign up like ASAP, because you can't do all these at the last minute. It's going to require pre-registration. So it's been slow coming in. So if anyone is considering attending, they need to get registered right away so that we can get that information off to the people that need to have it in order for this to be a virtual event versus an in-person event. Everything's pre-registration. So right now, plenty of space. We have plenty of screenings opened. But, you know, the one-on-ones do go fast. So for those of you who are really wanting the one-on-one experience, I would definitely do that as soon as possible.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wow. Well, we still have 20 minutes left, and I'm just wondering what else you would like to tell us about.
You know, I think that it's been a crazy year, and we're all just trying to feel our way through everything, and, you know, we're getting there. We're figuring it out, and, you know, I'm just hoping that when the season comes up for the organization, that we can continue to do our competitions, either virtually. I don't think it's going to be in person, so virtually is what we're going to be aiming for that. But keeping the community connected, super important, so I hope everyone will consider joining us at the conference and reconnecting in one way or another with your community here.
Yeah, I'm not sure how the competitions would work. That remains to be seen, because we've been doing the instead songs in progress to stay connected with the Zoom, and that's been working out really great, because we're able to have someone play a song and sing it, and we have the lyrics up on the Zoom, and then we can talk about it, and that's been really, really interesting. And to be able to hear other people's ideas about our songs, but also to give other people ideas about what we love and maybe things that we could change. And for example, last night Dudley and I performed a song of ours that is already recorded. It's already on a CD called Escape Velocity. And because of the songs in progress, you know, Bob Crane was coming up with, oh, you know, if you just change this word to this and this word to that. But we can do it for that for the live performances. And he had some good suggestions that we liked. So, you know, even with things that are already recorded, you can get suggestions. And as Max Newton was saying, he was saying, well, if you have all the different tracks, you can still have them re-record it, but we need to make sure that we have backups of all those tracks from Robert Berry, who's recorded them for us. So, yeah, it's been so interesting, and being able to meet people from various areas, some of the people coming to the events from different parts of the country and even from other parts of the world, they could, you know, right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've had people, you know, contact us from Europe and wanting to know what they could be a part of, because it does look like just a Bay Area-based organization. But at this point, that's just irrelevant. You can be anywhere. And I think that's the great thing about this conference, too, is, like, you know, you don't have to travel down from Portland or Washington, where a lot of members would, you know, come down from and have to, you know, structure their whole lives around this trip. It is great to be in person, like I said, but there is a benefit to being able to connect with people from other parts of the country. I mean, obviously, you know, Kenny Schick, he's doing a Songwriterland production workshop for the conference. He's in Nashville. Antoinette and their whole panel are in Nashville. So, you know, and then people who are doing screenings and one-on-ones from us from L.A. And Nashville, you know, they're all in different places. So, you know, there wasn't the expense also for our nonprofit organization for having to fly people in or hotels. You know, I mean, all of that is quite an expense. So this is definitely a silver lining, you know. So I think we can use it for more things other than just the conference, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned Antoinette a few times, and she is amazing. Dudley and I have gone to workshops of hers at the conferences before, and I love being in her workshops. So.
Oh, that's good to hear. Good. Yeah, she put together a panel of power women in Nashville there that that are going to have some great conversation around what is Nashville now. I think people always tend to lean towards just country, and it's just not the case. You know, we also have a music for theater workshop with John Berger, who is a drummer for Broadway. Actually, he was drumming for a show, Romeo and Bernadette, and right when it went to Broadway, COVID happened. So now, you know, he's been getting creative with recording things from his home, and I think they're going to do some live streaming of that show starting this week. But he's in the music for theater workshop along with Melissa Harding, which, you know, has been a wonderful collaboration of people when they join our workshops. We've done a few workshops this year based around this theme, and just a great group of people, developing pieces and collaborating. And we've got Steve Suskin back this year as well.
Yeah, he's really good too. We've gone to workshops with him as well, and yeah, it just I am so curious to see how this is all going to work out. I'm just so excited about it. I really am.
Yeah, I'll be crossing my fingers. I'll just be here alone in my house, checking into people's meetings, making sure everything's going smoothly. But for the most part, once it starts rolling, and it's just the same as in person, once the conference starts rolling, it's rolling. And whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. But obviously the intention is for it to be a smooth, exciting day and informative day for everyone. And knowing how much work team of people has put into making sure this could still happen for everyone and at such a low cost for our members was really important. It was just a huge group effort for pulling this together. Sabina Schick, Kenny's wife, has done all of the artwork, graphics, programs for us. And I think she's done had to do like 31 updates on the program. So I'm always apologizing and thanking her. And she designed the T-shirts as well. So, you know, it's definitely a village. I'm not just by myself doing this.
You're just the leader of the village.
Yeah. The fearless leader, as I've been told.
Yes, fearless, creative, loving, and kind leader who is keeping it all glued together.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
So the poster I noticed for the conference this year is the guitar with the tree and the roots coming down. That's mm-hmm. a whole new look. I don't think you had that last year, right?
Well, every year the conference logo is different. Mm-hmm. And it was usually, I think, an artwork competition based on where the conference was. So when it was in San Francisco, it was a trolley car.
Oh, okay. So that's why
conference.
It was a trolley car.
Yeah, just the conference. So this is a Roots and Wings, obviously, for, you know, honoring the people that have been holding this thing together for all these years, especially Joni and Ian. The Silvershires started the organization, and then Joni and Ian ran it for, you know, over 30 years. Mm-hmm. If you look closely on that trunk, you might see a little gesture for them. And there's also an S within the roots. So, you know, it's forward. We've got wings. We're going to go. But, you know, there's a lot of roots that have built this organization that are important to remember all the hard work that has gone over the years. A lot of work and a lot of love.
Yes, a lot of work and a lot of love both. Yes, Ian and Joni are definitely loving, kind, and creative people that have started this organization. You know, I have something that occurred to me as you were talking about people wanting to come from all over the world at this point, though. We've always been West Coast songwriters. Do you think at some point it'll start being more than just the West Coast? I mean, I know we have a location in across the pond over in Ireland, right? But
yeah, well, I think we did. I don't know if that's active. We definitely have connections there. But I think that's, you know, anything is possible, you know. It is more than the West Coast. We already know that. You know, mm-hmm. we have a lot of connections throughout the United States, especially in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And the West Coast does kind of confuse people. But, you know, when we just have the chapter competitions, obviously the office is in San Carlos. That's home base. And that all these chapters pretty much exist within California, especially the Bay Area. So the membership now needs to be more than just about the competitions. That's why I'm creating more workshops and classes and opportunities that will inspire people to become members, to stay connected with our community outside of the competition realm. Competition will always be a piece of it, but I think that it's definitely important to diversify our offerings and bring fresh energy in. And then that way, yes, it's not just West Coast. It's a, you know, a music association for, you know, all of our members who, wherever they are.
Yeah, exactly. That, of course, changing the name would be really weird. But yeah, I agree. I have people all over the place. And one of the things that I have to say that I liked about it right from the start is when we first met Bob Crane and Laura Lee Brown in 2014, and they invited us to come as guests for the West Coast Songwriters San Rafael. And Dudley performed in April. He performed a couple songs in April as a guest. And then in May, we both performed as a guest when it was at Phoenix. And that was my very first time ever singing on a stage.
Oh, how scary.
It's scary but exciting. I mean, that's the thing that about excitement is that if it's exciting, scary and exciting, it's something that you've always wanted to do and it's something that will help you grow. If it's just scary and you don't want to do it, then don't do it. But if it's scary and exciting, it means it's something that your heart desires and what I call living your music. In other words, living from your heart. So we sang Imagine, which is a song I wrote the lyrics to, Dudley wrote the music for in 2010. And had recorded with Robert Berry in, it was the end of 2011. And that was my first time singing in the recording studio. And I've known Robert Berry since college. So, you know, I had gone with Dudley and Xander to all the recording sessions down at Soundtech Studios in Campbell with him. I loved it. You know, so I was like standing in the shadows, as Julia Cameron calls it, of all these people that were in music, thinking that I couldn't sing. And so, you know, 2007, I started taking singing lessons, and that's how I ended up gradually, after practicing, believing more and more that I could sing, and Dudley and Xander started encouraging me to sing with them more. But the point is, though, is that Bob and Laura Lee made it so comfortable. They pointed out right away that, okay, this isn't like The Voice or American Idol. This is West Coast Songwriters. So some of the people are really good at singing and performing. Some of the people are mainly songwriters, you know. So right, that took off some of the pressure, which I thought was really, really cool to know that you didn't have to necessarily be great at performing in order to do it. And also that it's so collaborative. So many people that are willing to help and encouraging people there, and like you said, a really wonderful community. It's one of the choices we've made that I'm most glad we've ever made, was to join West Coast Songwriters in 2014.
It is a wonderful community, and I have enjoyed over this past, you know, year and a half, probably at this point, getting to know the community, having the community get to know me. It was challenging coming in after Ian Crombie. Oh my gosh, everyone loves Ian. I love Ian. He's been around for 30 years, and he's completely a labor of love, this organization, for him, and for him to place that in my hands, so to speak, with all that trust, but then having to go out into this environment was tough. I struggle with social anxiety. I have panic attacks, which most people, you know, wouldn't guess, because I don't appear that way. But, you know, I think last year's conference was probably the hardest thing I've ever done, being in that environment and getting on a stage and having people look at me like, who are you? But, you know, I mean, the people that do know, and they do, my relationship to Ian changed the perception of how I ended up where I am, especially not being a musician myself. It's been an interesting challenge, but I have gotten to know so many wonderful people, and people have been very supportive, very helpful. It's been exciting and nerve-wracking all at the same time.
You know, I think in some ways, being someone who absolutely, obviously loves music and creativity and creative people, but not being a musician yourself, in a way that's probably a good thing, because you were like the rest of us and do like to sing and play music, you'd be wanting to get out there performing instead of overseeing the whole thing. So thank God that
it takes me back to that first moment with Catherine Hurd and Vitrina King, where they were meeting together and then they called me into the room and I was like, why am I here? But within 5 minutes I knew why I was there. And they're like, well, Vitrina says everyone needs a poppy. I was like, I'll take that as a compliment for sure.
I agree. Everyone needs a poppy. So true. Oh, wow, poppy. This has been really fun talking with you about all this. And I'm wondering, we're getting close to the end, not quite to the end. So I'd like to have everyone out there listening think about what music they hear calling them. And I don't mean just music. I mean, what creative projects, what things do they feel drawn to do in their lives? What is their heart saying that they're here on earth for? And also for them to listen to that music and to feel fear, which is actually excitement. Feel the excitement and go ahead and do it anyway. Because, you know, what I've discovered is that you feel good about the fact that you just even tried. You have to feel good about even being willing to try. You know, that's one of the things that you have to do. And what advice or words of wisdom would you like to leave people with today?
I was just thinking about this for myself. I think I've finally stopped trying to define what it is I'm good at and trusting your intuition on things. Don't not do something because you're not sure of your place in it. Trust your instincts. I said, you know, it's like following breadcrumbs and, you know, you just really have to trust yourself more and be okay with making mistakes and having people see them. That's really hard for me to make mistakes and have people see that. But I would rather do that than to sit afraid and unfulfilled.
I think that I remember a friend of mine saying that her mom said it's the things you don't buy that you regret, the ones that you really liked that you didn't buy that you regret. But it's the same thing with this. It's the things that you've always wanted to do but you've been letting fear stop you from doing. Those are the things you're going to regret most as you get to the end of your life. And, you know, for me, it was being a mom, writing my book, and singing. Those three things have been the top things for me. But by doing what people enjoy doing, they're happier, and we need more happiness in this planet.
You know? Yeah, you can be scared. Be scared, be terrified, but do it anyway.
Exactly.
And don't worry about making the mistakes. The mistake is not doing it.
Well, yeah, and it's like that book by Susan Jeffers, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. She points out in there that no matter what you do, if you're going to do something new, you're going to feel some fear. You just have to feel the fear and do it anyway. Yeah, and mistakes are just part of learning. I mean, it's like, boy, it took me so long to learn that one, but it's so true. If you're not willing to make mistakes, you're never, ever going to be able to learn anything new because everything new that you do, you're going to make some mistakes. The key is just to learn from the mistakes and then try like crazy to remember what it is you really want to do next time.
You have to be humble enough to own your mistakes, but to not let it hold you back and not keep beating yourself. I beat myself up a lot, so it's hard to remember not to do that. It's, you know, it's just part of it. It's like, okay, move on, next. We're not going to get stuck in this. Just move on. It's forward. We're going forward. I'm not going to keep looking back and crucifying myself over things I haven't done perfectly. The fact is you just have to keep moving forward and, like I said, trust your instincts. Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, so true. You can't live your life by going backwards. You have to live it by going forward. But, you know, that's part of what keeps life exciting and fun, too, is like you said, stepping into the unknown and the uncertainty, but listening to your intuition. I call it my heart, but, you know, your intuition, your inner being, and what feels right for you to do, and if it feels wrong for you to do, and I don't mean just being afraid of it. I mean, if it feels like it's not something you have any interest in, then don't do it.
Well, and nothing is forever, and you can always change your mind about things. Living in flexibility, you have to be flexible, you know, in life. And, you know, like when my kids were little, what are you committed to? Well, I used to think I was committed to one way of raising my kids until I realized it wasn't up to me. They were telling me who they were. And that created a lot of flexibility in my personality, because if you want to raise healthy children as best you can, you better not get stuck on your own ideas of who they are. So, you know, it's like, and when people said, well, what are you going to do here? What are you going to do there? I said, I don't know. I'll change my mind when I need to.
I'll figure it out as I go.
I'll figure it out when I get there. I'm not going to worry about it right now. I'm not going to borrow trouble. So,
yeah.
But I'd rather give myself permission to say, that's not working anymore. Try something else. Some things work for a while, and then they don't work anymore, and you can change it. It's not over until it's over.
Yeah. You know, we're almost out of time, and I've just really enjoyed having you on the show, and I'm so thankful for all you're doing for West Coast Songwriters. And I will look forward to seeing
you
at the conference.
Thank you for having me. Yeah,
thank
sure.
You.
Everybody come out to the conference.
Yeah. Everybody share this this recording and also sign up for the conference. Check it out. Become a member of West Coast Songwriters if you have an interest in it at all. And just see where your place is in it and enjoy it. It's a great group of people. Thank you for now, everyone. Thank you, Poppy. Thank you, everyone
out
there. Everyone out there, whatever you do, live your music. Bye for now, everyone.